What do you think, John? Is there anything to talk about in nature?
No. It's just been the same old, same old.
All right, do your best.
All right, I'll invent something. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And simply put, that means that at certain times of the year, certain things take place. And if you watch them over a long enough period of time, you'll get a sense of when those things should occur. And if you're watching them this spring, and if you have that sense of timing, you probably have already realized that we are slap dab right on average. I looked at a bunch of different plants that are occurring right now that are doing different things, and we'll talk about them. But boy, they're just like they're either on the day or they're within a day or two. I guess the wood anemone, that little white five-petaled flower that you're seeing just about everywhere in the forest right now. It's got a deeply sort of reddish green whorl of leaves right below the flower. That wood anemone was 5 days late in blooming this year, but that probably is the most obvious one for being sort of out of timing. Sarsaparilla, the wild sarsaparilla is up, and that was 4 days early. Sessile-leaved bellwort is at its peak of flower, and that is 2 days early. Yellow violets are out, and they came up right on their average date. Spreading dogbane plants are up, and they are also right smack on average. Trilliums, both nodding and large flowered, coming north from the Twin Cities yesterday, driving just south of Jacobson. There were ditches full of trilliums. And if I had to guess, I would say that probably South 169 from Grand Rapids, from Pakegama Lake going south toward Hill City, there are probably lots of trilliums on the ditches there that are fully in bloom, big white flowers, absolutely gorgeous to look at. The nodding trillium, which is its cousin, is also up and just beginning to flower, first flowers right now. These flowers are smaller, so the large flowered trillium might be 2 or 2.5 inches across. Pardon me. The nodding trillium is probably closer to an inch, and the nodding trillium sits below the leaf. So if you learn to recognize that three-leaved structure, you might be able to push the leaf aside and have a look at the flower, which will be hiding down below. Let's see, among the other flowers, lilacs began to bloom at my house yesterday. And that was right on average. Jack and the Pulpits are flowering, and that's right on average. Swamp red currant is blooming right now, and also right on average, within a day or two of average first bloom. The swamp red currant is one that you probably overlook, and it grows in wet areas, maybe not swamps. But certainly on the borders, going into those places, or any place, like I find mine in a little bit of a lowlands that is trapped between the lakeshore and a pressure ridge of ice and then higher ground. So behind that pressure ridge, it's not ice, but it's pushed up by ice. It's a mound of dirt around the edge of the lake that has been pushed up by ice, and then it comes up and peaks at about 3 feet above the surrounding terrain, and then it falls away both on the lake side into the water and on the land side into a kind of a lowland where water gets trapped. And that's where I find my swamp red currant plants. They're woody. They have little whitish, pinkish kind of flowers with a little red center in them. And there are usually five or six or eight of them kind of in a little cluster on these little woody plants. The leaves look a lot like a raspberry leaf, kind of three-lobed and sort of jagged-looking. Maybe more like a maple leaf would be a better description of the swamp red currant. Another very small plant that is blooming right now is one called dwarf raspberry. And it has a small white flower, only a single flower per plant. So if you see a plant low to the ground, maybe 8 to 12 inches tall, with a tiny, well, not tiny, but a small white flower on that plant, especially a five-pointed white flower, that is probably dwarf raspberry. And they're delicious when they fruit, but because there's only a single fruit per plant, it's a kind of a long slog to get enough for a pie. Cowslips are blooming at my house. They were a little bit late, 3 days late. Bluebead lily has emerged. Not yet. I'm not seeing any flower structures yet, but the leaves are pushing up, and the lily-like leaves. These oftentimes will pierce a leaf that is covering them, like an oak leaf or a Grande Dentata, a big tooth aspen leaf. They will fall and cover the structure, the bluebead lily plant. But when the plant comes up, sometimes it'll poke a hole right through those things. And then you'll get like the three or four lily leaves are all hooked together and encumbered by this leaf that they've pushed through. Sometimes that leaf will grow right up off the ground, and you'll just see these three leaves kind of crimp together because of the leaf that they have grown through as they were coming up. Pin cherry is probably at its peak of bloom. Juneberry, looking at shrubs now, pin cherry is probably at its peak of bloom. Juneberry at my house is done blooming. All done. No Juneberry flowers at my house right now. Canada plum is probably at its peak of bloom. Northern gooseberry began to bloom. These are bell-shaped yellow flowers, very curled back petals on those. And the shrub northern gooseberry can be differentiated from prickly gooseberry, which is the other gooseberry here in northern Minnesota, just by touching the plant. If you touch the stem of the northern gooseberry, no pricklers. If you touch the stem of the prickly gooseberry, as its name implies, it's a bit like a raspberry. Black chokeberry plants are right on the verge of flowering. There's some beautiful buds, swollen buds, that are just ready to go. The fly honeysuckle, which until last week was probably one of the easiest plants to spot because of its predominantly green leaves in an area that had few green leaves, the red elderberry being the exception. But the fly honeysuckle has fruits on it now. It still has a few flowers. Because it's a honeysuckle, it's opposite branched, and the flowers are twinned, and the fruits are twinned. And if you look at the fruits, which are green right now but will turn red during the summer, they're connected sort of at one end, and the name fly honeysuckle comes from the fact that these fruits, when they are present, are attached at one end, kind of tight together at one end, and then spreading out a bit like fly wings. So that's the fly honeysuckle. That's out there right now. Red elderberry, probably at its last peak. I'm looking out the window. There's a magnificent bush right down below the studios here that's covered in flowers. The flowers on the red elderberries at my house are all open, and on one bush there are some that have gone past, you know, and are setting fruit. While I was down in Northfield, I found the red elderberry that had completely gone to fruit. They were well past flower down there and working their way toward being a fruit plant. The apples in my yard all came out and bloomed. The edible apples, the Zestars and the Honeycrisps are in bloom. And all of the non-edible, the decorative crabs that are there to feed the birds in the fall are approaching peak bloom. Some are at peak bloom. Others are just approaching peak bloom. But a lot of flowering trees out there right now. And you want to mark some of those because some of them are going to be interesting to keep track of. Maybe because you might want to eat some of the fruit yourself, or you may want to pay attention to it when it is in fruit and see what birds come to help themselves to it. Mountain ash is leafed out and has flower buds on it. No open flowers yet, at least not at my house. And that is like 7 days early. So pretty interesting. Trembling aspen have leafed out. They are well on their way to having full-size leaves. They're at or better than halfway open. The other thing about the trembling aspen was if you were out yesterday and you were noticing that white cotton floating around on the air, that is the seed of the trembling aspen. Now, last year, a year ago, those seeds never became airborne. The females just held on to those seed capsules until just when you would think that they were ready to open and then drop them all. And this year they're holding on to them. And I was out yesterday and I was riding my bike and I was concerned that I was probably inhaling a bunch of these little fluffy things floating around in the air. You probably saw them or you saw windrows of them kind of piled up here and there where they would catch, maybe blow across the driveway and catch in the grass on the edge. All of that cotton are aspen seeds. And looking at the book, they reckon that there are between 5,500 and 8,000 popple seeds per gram. There are 454 grams in a pound. And so if you do the math, that gives you somewhere between 2 million, let's call it 500,000, and 3,600,000 seeds per pound. So they're not very heavy. and few of them will actually result in propagation of new trees. But if you have an area where you've turned up the soil, if you're, if you have a farmer near you and he's got the soil all turned up and those seeds fall on that soil, they will grow. They will also grow very rapidly in areas that have been burned, which is their nature for spreading. They find those areas where the soils are newly exposed and they can actually take root and grow quite readily there. That's the trembling aspen, and they were throwing cotton yesterday big time. Their cousins, the big tooth aspens, are just beginning to leaf out, and those are the ones that are pale gray green, kind of a sage green. Some of them even look white when they first come out. And so if you're looking at some aspens, and I saw some yesterday that looked like, boy, they're just breaking bud. They're just sitting there like these bare sticks around all these trees that are leafed out. And you could see this hint of light green associated with them. So as you drive around today, look for those whitish, light green big tooth aspen. And this year, they began to leaf out, well, in the last couple of days, so sometime around the 18th, 19th, 20th, somewhere in there, they began to leaf out. That is about right because the trembling aspens leafed out the 1st of May, began to leaf out the 1st of May. And over the years where we have a normal spring, there's usually 3 weeks between the aspen, trembling aspen leaf out and the big tooth aspen leaf out. This year, it turns out to be about 20 days. And That is average. Now, if you have a late spring and let's say the trembling aspen don't leaf out until the 7th or 8th of May, the big tooth aspen will oftentimes leaf out within a week. So they shorten that up. So that would put them at about the 15th of May in this hypothetical situation, or in years where we've had a long, slow spring. That 3 weeks gets compressed when spring is late to arrive. But enjoy them. They're gorgeous right now. They're this beautiful, soft sage green, and they are just lovely to look at. The kind of, I drove by a swamp yesterday and I noticed that the tussock cotton grass was blooming. So if you're driving by a swamp today and you see these little white cottony fluffs in there, I shouldn't say blooming because that's actually the seed stage. The flowers happened about a month ago. And if you're curious about those flowers, you'll have to go check them out. They look a lot like the flowers of the Pennsylvania sedge, a typical kind of a grass flower. At any rate, now they are at the seed stage and you can see these big white heads. And a lot of that is going to increase over the next few days and weeks. And you will see, looking at the swamps, you'll see lots of that kind of white cottony stuff out there in the swamps. Final notes, last night, spring peepers and boreal chorus frogs were still calling. And I heard tree frogs for the first time. I've had people tell me that the American toads are singing, but I have not heard it yet myself. So I'm holding off on that. I'm not close enough to the lake, nor are my ears good enough to hear the waterborne frogs, but I would be not surprised to hear leopard frogs calling and perhaps the mink frog, though that one I think is a little bit later. Green frogs won't call until late June, so lots of things going on. I still heard grouse drumming. And I hear turkeys gobbling every morning when I get up. So there's lots of things to hear and do and see out there. Get outside and enjoy the beautiful weather. It is absolutely green out there and not going to be anything less than green for quite some time.
You can find more information about phenology and nature at our website or sign up for the Season Watch newsletter. It's available at kaxc.org.
I forgot to mention during the phenology show that while I was in Minneapolis on Saturday last weekend, I saw my first monarch butterfly, and then I saw another one in Northfield on Monday. So it will be interesting to see when they arrive here in northern Minnesota. And remember, there's a relationship between the monarch and the Canada tiger swallowtail. They seem to arrive or appear, let's put it that way, appear within days of one another here at this latitude. Dallas Hudson over in Akeley and John Weber over in Nevis. And I have combined our records, and there is seldom a year when we don't see both within 2 or 3 days of one another.
Mark Jacobs posting yesterday in Season Watch.
Oh, was that down at his house?
Yeah.
In Aiken?
Yeah.
Mark, he lives in Aiken, right.
Yeah, he said he'd been chasing them around for 3 days. He finally landed on a newly planted lilac bush in northeast Aiken County.
Oh, nice. Well, then they should be here very, very soon. And typically it's the end of May. Sometimes it goes to the 1st of June, but this year it looks like it'll be here in the last week of May. And I would also be then looking for that big yellow and black Canada tiger swallowtail butterfly, because usually when I see one, I start looking for the other almost immediately. And typically I run into them very quickly.